Hey y'all, I'm going to take a look here at Luke chapter 9. I'm actually going to read a section I've already commented on. I'm going to read it again, 51 to the end of the chapter. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So it's important to note that this series, and what I want to look at, is those three individuals who come and say they will follow him. Actually, the pattern is, one says, "I will follow you," to another, he says, "I will follow you," and then yet another says, "I will follow you." And to each one of them, he gives a rather stern rebuke. A couple things to note about this passage. One is that it comes in a very significant moment of transition. There in 51, it says Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And obviously, we who know the spoilers of the Gospels know that means he was going to the cross. This opens up a section in Luke that goes all the way to about chapter 19 that is all about the journey. They're on the way. And I think we could think of this as the way of discipleship, the way, yes, that Jesus took to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, but also just the way of discipleship, the way of following him as he goes to the cross and taking up our crosses daily. The daily cross is the call, the daily training to say no to my habitual inclinations and to learn a whole new set of inclinations. And all of this comes in that context. So he's on his way to Jerusalem. He set his face to Jerusalem. Some people are offended that he set his face to Jerusalem, the Samaritans in particular, because they had their own mountain that they considered sacred and special. And I think overall what we can take away from this is Jesus doesn't bargain with anybody, right? He makes a very demanding call to follow him, and he doesn't negotiate. And I think that we are meant to hear from all of this that the call to follow Jesus is absolute, and it cuts across all loyalties, all senses of importance. He is not interested in those who want to come and negotiate part of their life. He is interested in absolute surrender or nothing. And I think that's crucially important. So those three episodes, the first is somebody volunteers, comes to him. And, you know, you'd think Jesus should be happy to have volunteers willing to follow him. But he does nothing to make it easy for this guy to follow him. He says, "Well, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus says, "Look, in my ministry, I am dependent on other people for hospitality, for where I lay my head. Are you willing to do the same? Are you willing to have where you live and sleep be open-ended and dependent on the charity of others?" That's the first one. The second one is a guy who says, "Hey, I want to follow you, but let me bury my dad first." We don't know, did his dad die that day, because in Jewish practice you buried within the day that somebody passed, or was he maybe at death's door? And this guy said, "Well, I'm willing to follow you, but I need to be around until he passes." It's also worth pointing out that in Jewish practice at the time, to bury the dead was a great religious duty. This was a very important act of love to those who couldn't bury themselves. It was one of the ways you took care of the poor, and you can't be any poorer than dead. And to him, Jesus says, "Sorry, loyalty to me takes higher precedence than loyalty to family." And then finally, another volunteer comes, and the last volunteer says, "Hey, I'll follow you, but let me just go say goodbye to the people at home." In other words, maybe say, hey, I'm going to follow this itinerant preacher, so I just wanted to come say goodbye. And Jesus has another harsh saying. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is probably a reference to Elijah calling Elisha back in the book of Kings, because Elisha was plowing when Elijah called him. Now, for all of these sayings, there are many qualifications and explanations we could give, detail and historical context that would help us come to understand them and nuance them. For example, Peter himself had a home. We don't know the history of his relationship with his home, but he had a home in which he hosted Jesus periodically. So, you know, at least Peter, the leader of the disciples, had a home. We could note that, you know, the Bible commands us to honor our father and mother. So, you know, how could Jesus really mean not honoring your father by burying him? We could point out that for us, how do we apply this call to leave him? Because none of us can actually physically follow him now. There's all kinds of detail and nuance we could give, but there is such a thing as qualifying something to death. That is giving so much nuance and explanation that you take the teeth out of it. And I think it's best with these words that we should probably let the force of them sit with us and make us uncomfortable. I think we should probably embrace the discomfort they give and really ask the questions. Is loyalty to my family competitive to my loyalty to Jesus? Where would I see it splitting? Am I so attached to my comforts and my security that I would be willing to live in absolute insecurity to follow him? I think that we are called to embrace these difficult questions. And so I'd rather not give a lot of explanations that take the blunt force of them off, challenge you and challenge myself to sit with these questions and let them work on us. And again, to suggest that the overall application for us who weren't living at the time when Jesus said this is these are all questions about discipleship. In my daily taking up, denying myself and taking up of my cross, does loyalty to my family supersede my loyalty to Jesus? Do my comforts and my security take precedence over my obedience to him and learning to follow him? So again, it's all put in the context of the overall call to discipleship. So may we hear that austere call that few take. But may we find the freedom and the joy that comes from following the one who took his own cross, went into death and out the other side. May we know the joy and the freedom of being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and continuing to follow him every day on the way. Amen.